This is Andrew Schultz. I'm the sales manager for CHS Ag Services. We're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Monday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Tyler Donaldson, along with Randy Conan and Jamie Dickerman. Snow continues primarily along and north of Highway 2 and will continue throughout parts of the afternoon. Meteorologist Jacob Spender with the National Weather Service in Grand Forks said the northern areas have seen the most accumulation.
Predominantly, the northern Red River Valley, Devil's Lake Basin, and north central Minnesota are seeing the flakes. Right now, we have a broad area of 1 to about 4 inches that have fallen across northeastern North Dakota into northwest Minnesota. The highest amounts right now are kind of looking up in that Pembina, Kitson, and also Roseau County area. There was a rural report up in Roseau of about 6 inches of new snow that did fall.
Spender says another system will bring a chance of snow to the southern Red River Valley for Tuesday night into Wednesday, with accumulations an inch or less.
Dry conditions will persist across central and eastern Argentina, Uruguay, southern Paraguay, and southern Brazil throughout the coming week. However, scattered showers and thunderstorms are expected to return next week, providing much-needed moisture for the crops. Meanwhile, northern regions of Brazil will continue drying out over the next 10 to 12 days, potentially stressing crops in those areas. In contrast, center-west Brazil will experience routine rainfall, benefiting safrinha corn crops and maintaining soil moisture levels as the monsoon season nears its end. Next week's expected rainfall in Argentina and southern Brazil should help restore favorable crop and field conditions following a period of dryness, aiding late-season growth and harvest activities.
President Donald Trump says he does not intend to create exemptions on sweeping steel and aluminum tariffs and reaffirmed that additional duties will go into effect early next month. Speaking to reporters aboard Air Force One late last night, Trump said 25% tariffs on all steel and aluminum imported in the U.S., which went into effect last week, are here to stay. He added that reciprocal and tariffs will kick in on April 2nd, which he referred to as a liberating day.
Canada and the European Union are implementing a dollar-for-dollar approach, placing 25% tariffs on U.S. imports. For Canada, this second round of counter-tariffs is in addition to $30 billion worth of imported U.S. goods imposed when sweeping U.S. tariffs on Canada took effect on March 4th. Canadian Finance Minister Dominique LeBlanc made this latest counter-tariff announcement just hours after the U.S. tariffs were put on steel and aluminum products.
The government of Canada will be imposing 25% reciprocal tariffs on an additional $29.8 billion of imports from the United States. These tariffs are in addition to Canada's 25% counter tariffs in response to U.S. tariffs put in place on March 4th. The government is currently assessing and may impose further tariffs to this measure as well.
LeBlanc went on to assure Canadian businesses and workers that there are financial supports in place for what could be a long and chaotic trade war.
These are challenging, uncertain times for Canadian businesses and Canadian workers. That's why we've deployed Export Development Canada, the Business Development Bank of Canada, and Farm Credit Corporation to help business owners find new markets for their products and access financing to help affected businesses keep more employees on the payroll in the event of a slowdown.
President Trump said that Canada, the EU, and all other countries could be subject to new reciprocal tariffs effective April 2nd.
National Economic Council Director Kevin Hassett said stock market volatility will persist until at least April 2nd, when President Trump is expected to unveil plans for reciprocal and additional sectorial tariffs. Hassett's comments come after both the S&P 500 and the NASDAQ marked their fourth consecutive weekly declines as Wall Street struggles to keep up with Trump's changing tariff policies and the sweeping cuts across federal government by the Department of Government Efficiency. Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent on Sunday said there are no guarantees the U.S. will evade a recession.
Wheat markets continuing to show double-digit gains today. U.S. commodities founder Don Rose says it's the time of year we start to focus on the weather.
We've got a weather condition that's warm and dry in the southern U.S. plains. We're also the same thing in the Black Sea area. So, you know, we're focusing on those areas pretty close as this time of year. So, you know, the funds are short the wheat market, and that's given us push to the upside, the big winner. The corn market just kind of struggling here. Funds are long corn. We're technically still in a downtrend. And same thing on soybeans, kind of struggling with the big crop out of South America coming at us right now. And, of course, you can't say enough about the uncertainty with the demand rolling forward on all these products.
Livestock markets showing some positive gains today.
So I think it's the big cash up that's given us some strength. And, you know, you have the futures market on April discount to the cash in the north, so that's a supportive factor. You got to be a little bit careful with some of this demand issues as we move up. Are we going to move into a recession? So, you know, that's the demand side is the one that is the caution for the bullishness. And, of course, the supply side is going to be tight going forward.
USDA's weekly export inspections report for the week ending March 13th shows 1.66 million metric tons of corn were inspected for export. That's 10% less than the previous week, but 25% more than the same week last year. Soybean inspections of 647,000 tons are 24% less than the previous week and 7% less than a year ago. Wheat inspections of 493,000 tons are more than double the previous week and 25% more than the same week a year ago. For the marketing year, corn inspections are 32% ahead of last year, soybean inspections are 9% more, and wheat inspections are 18% more than a year ago.
Acres and Shares reporting 467 shares of American Crystal Sugar Company beet stock selling during the week ending March 14th. Average sale price, $5,587 a share, high of $5,600, low of $5,550 per share. So far this trading season, 5,576 shares have traded hands. This is the Red River Farm Network.
Monday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. Today is the deadline to make changes for your federal crop insurance policy. NAU Country Vice President of Farm Services Rich Morrison says you got the extra business day due to March 15th falling on the weekend.
Yeah, so today is our final deadline this year. We do get the extra day, and farmers have until closing time today to make any decisions, whether they're adding, changing policies, whatever they're doing here for the 25 year.
Morrison says the biggest change in the ECO option.
Well, the significant change, I think, to crop insurance this year was the added, I hate to use the word subsidy, I'm calling it a copay, for the ECO policy. ECO is enhanced coverage option, and that's a 95% to 86% band of coverage. And the added copay from the government this year is sharply reducing the cost of that. And I think it's allowing a lot of producers to bump up to that 95% level, maybe the first time they've ever done that. And, you know, it's a good way to try to get enough dollars to cover cost of production this year. I think that's the focus that most of our guys have had. And plus, with the rally we had in price in the month of February, we get to take advantage of those higher prices at the 95% level. So kind of a win-win here this year.
Northland Community and Technical College Farm Business Management Instructor Rhonda Vergston says most farmers he works with are still securing financing for 2025, despite economic challenges.
You know, I have been pleasantly surprised that the farms that I work with, I have not heard from any of them that they will not be able to get financing for the 25 year. I know many of their lenders have had to do some rescheduling, you know, for different reasons. You know, again, a lot of people did lose working capital just because of the drop in the market. You know, some, you know, acquisition of land assets or machinery.
DeVergstein says that concerns remain as land values and rental rates stay high, even with lower commodity prices.
You know, I have heard that, you know, some farmers approaching the, you know, retirement age or that type of thing. Some producers have decided to, you know, either, you know, rent their land out or downsize and just take a little bit of the risk off their table and retain the equity that they have previously built up.
A bill in North Dakota legislature is getting support from throughout the state. Governor Kelly Armstrong spoke in favor of House Bill 1176.
This is the most aggressive, durable, and responsible plan to reduce property taxes. Several elements of the plan have been discussed extensively through the interim and during the first half of the legislative session, but the overall framework is unique. Our citizens are demanding property tax relief and reform. During my campaign, I visited with thousands of constituents from every corner of our state, and I can confidently say that this is their top priority, and it should still be ours.
Governor Armstrong also talked about the benefits the bill would offer residents.
There are three main components. It will provide property tax credit of $1,450 per year for each primary residence by using $74.7 million from the general fund and $398.4 million from the legacy fund earnings. The reform piece is essential to this plan, being sustainable and responsible. The bill caps increase the local property tax budget at 3% per year. They don't have to use the entire 3% every year. Whatever percentage they don't, each year can be banked up to 5 years. The proposal will also expand the eligibility for the Homestead Tax Credit Program and increase the income limit to renter refund component. Homeowners will see significant immediate impact from this bill, and it will put the bulk of primary residents on a path to zero property taxes within the next decade.
The Minnesota Agricultural Education Leadership Council has released its 2030 Ag Education Blueprint. The status report, conducted every 5 years, MEALC Executive Director Sarah Dornick said the school based in both secondary ag education programs are focused on workforce development.
Wanting to make sure that, you know, how they're offering their courses and that they have, they're offering the right content, but also having the equipment that those students are going to see once they're out in the workforce. And so they had a big push on, technology, equipment, resources, making sure everything's aligned to what the industry needs.
For Farm Business Management, much of the focus is on supporting instructors. This is the Red River Farm Network.
Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. Central UAS Technologies is a U.S.-based drone company that manufactures their drones domestically. Technical sales manager Kelly Wittenberg says this makes them a great choice over Chinese-made drones.
We are a U.S. manufacturer of spray drones for aerial applications. So we are designed and manufactured in Daytona Beach, Florida. That's a big deal because there are certain states and all federal agencies which do not allow the use of Chinese drones for any sort of applications, whether it be spraying or for imagery. So we're made in the United States, and we are NDAA Section 889 compliant to do all of those applications and sell to those entities.
Drone use on the farm has increased greatly over the years.
For a while, the farmers and the ag community at large were a little skeptical of drones, and rightly so, right? You want to make sure that something is going to be in the mix for the long haul and that it works. And so now, after years of proving ourselves and coming up with data and working with various research institutes, we've got enough use cases and we've got enough customers now to back up that we can do really effective and efficient applications via drone in areas that might not be a natural fit for other sorts of spray applications.
The North Dakota State Board of Animal Health has issued a waiver extending the age for the brucellosis vaccination on heifers from 12 months to 14 months, the move due to a vaccine shortage. The board determined the extension would have a negligible risk to animal health.
Checking quotes, green across the board here. May wheat Minneapolis up 12.5 cents, 6.14 and a quarter. May wheat Chicago's up 11 and a quarter, 5.68 and a quarter. KC May wheat up 18 cents, 6.04 even. May corn up a penny and three quarters, 4.60, now 4.60 even. May soybeans is even here so far, 10.16 even. In Winnipeg, May canola is up $9.20 per metric ton, 5.69.70 Canadian. Looking at cattle now, April live cattle up $1.72 to $204.90. April feeders up $2.75, $283.95. April lean hogs up $1.40 at $88.02. Have a great day. You're listening to the Red River Farm Network.